Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. This is Tricia Torrey, Every Patient's Advocate, here with Dr. Gregory Eastwood from Upstate Center for Bioethics and Humanities. We're discussing the ethics of cloning, and as we took a break for the news, Dr. Eastwood, we mentioned Jurassic Park. So tie Jurassic Park, it's the movie, tie that, if you will, to cloning.
Yeah, well, I think most people are familiar with Jurassic Park, the movie, and maybe the book that preceded it. In Jurassic Park, you remember there were dinosaurs and other creatures that were recreated by cloning, the methods that we described a few minutes ago. They got this DNA out of mosquitoes that had allegedly bitten the dinosaurs of that era and then had survived, or not survived, but had been preserved in amber for millions of years. Now, whether this is possible or not, possible is an interesting word, mm-hmm. because what we thought was not possible a decade ago is possible now, and things we think are not possible now will be possible in the future. I don't think it's yet possible to do what they described in Jurassic Park, that is, get the DNA from mosquitoes of millions of years ago.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have to wonder then, of course, in Jurassic Park, it was horribly dangerous, and it mm-hmm. was very frightening and scary, those dinosaurs and being on that island. But if we take it to its next conclusion, the question is, do we start talking about cloning humans? And we did talk about a little bit about identical twins are clones mm-hmm. of a sort and so forth. But I think that that is actually where one of the big fears is, talking about cloning humans. Now, you mentioned earlier that it really isn't possible, but it is possible to clone parts of humans. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. We use human cloning in a scientific sense already. We create clones of viruses and inject certain human DNA into them, and we create medications like Procrit, which is a name for erythropoietin that stimulates blood cells. Human insulin is created this way. Interferon to treat viral infections is created this way. So most people would agree that's a good use of cloning.
Absolutely. And when you say cloning, though, can you give us an example of how that's done? Because I don't want to leave anyone with the impression that insulin is created from human cloning per se.
No, my understanding of the way it's created is that you take the DNA sequence, not the whole genome, but the DNA sequence that would create human insulin, and you put it into a set of viruses, and out comes human insulin.
Uh-huh.
It's much more complicated than what I just described, but that's the basic idea.
But my gosh, insulin, they've been producing insulin for decades. I mean, long before Dolly the Sheep or even Jurassic Park, they've been doing this for a very long time. So the basic science must have been understood for a long time.
Well, the kind of insulin that used to be used decades ago, though, came from animals, and sometimes there were reactions to that. But human insulin, I frankly don't know how many years that's been going on, but it's been going on for a number of years, yes.
It has. So we can see that there are definitely benefits that come from cloning. Talk about some of the other, like stem cell. We've talked about the stem cells in the last couple mm-hmm. of months. How does that relate to cloning then?
Well, technically, when a stem cell, which is a very, very early cell, as we talked about in our embryo, we all start as stem cells. When they divide, they produce clones of themselves. Now, eventually, stem cells, when they divide, will develop into so-called differentiated cells. But the early stem cells are clones of each other. And this is thought to be useful therapeutically for things like Parkinson's disease or spinal cord injury,
right?
Those kinds of things, or heart attacks mm-hmm. where pieces of the muscle, the heart are killed.
Right, and we've also talked in previous shows about peripheral nerve cells, where
right.
nerves are being repaired by these cells being injected into someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very interesting science on how all of those get put together. But now there are some other ways that these cells are also being used, cloned cells are also being used, and that's in combination with animals. And that's also where some of the misunderstandings, but also ethical questions come about, isn't it?
That's right. Now, we already put pig valves into people. We tell people that need them that that's going to be the case.
No, nobody's getting one without knowing
no,
it. Okay.
They're not supposed to. But let's suppose we could make a heart valve in a pig or some other animal that was perfectly compatible genetically with me if I needed such a heart valve.
Okay.
And that would be using human cloning technology along the lines we've talked about.
Okay, so I'm confused now because we're talking about human cloning, but we're talking about pigs at the same time.
Yeah.
So put them together for me, if
you will. So what we're doing here is we're saying we're going to create an organ that is compatible with human for human use in another animal, say a pig. So we're not creating a whole new human.
Right.
We're creating an organ in the human or in the pig just so it can be created.
And why do we choose a pig?
Well, pigs are generally thought to be, we don't like to believe this maybe, but less incompatible with humans than many other animals. And
okay.
That's why they were chosen before we even had cloning to donate heart valves.
Now, we're talking about donating heart valves. And of course, we talk about organ donation after death. We talk about even blood donation and tissue donation and those kinds of things after death. But what you're talking about is creating parts from live beings. It would be impossible to create them in a human being to donate to another human being, knowing when that would happen. We're talking about animals being used. Are there other animals that are being used to grow human body parts?
Well, I'm sure people are trying different things. I've heard of reports of human ear tissue being grown on mice. I mean, this gets kind of scientifically fantastic.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, as you said before, what was possible 10 years ago won't necessarily be impossible 10 years from now.
That's right. I think the basic idea here is, can we use human cloning technology to create organs that would be beneficial for human disease or prolongation?
And what we're not trying to do, and let's be clear here, because, of course, this goes to another ethical question, is that we're not trying to create new beings by mm-hmm. combining these. I think back to mythology, studying mythology in school, when they were kind of there were new beings being created.
Yeah. Well, there's a mythological creature in Greek mythology called a chimera, and this is a creature that is comprised of three animals. So the body is a lion, the head is a goat, and the tail is a snake. And we use the term chimera to describe any mixing now of species. And we have some examples we've already talked about. If you create a heart valve, say, in a pig, using the technology we talked about, using human DNA, that would be a chimera.
Okay, interesting. So we are kind of using that idea of chimeras mm-hmm. to improve longevity in human beings.
That's right. Let me just point out something, though, that we are really aware of, but we don't think about that often. We have mixed animal and human cells for millennia. We eat animal food. Now, that may not count
okay.
in the audience's thinking here, but we do.
Well,
also,
if we eat the food, then the nutrition from that food gets into our bodies and helps
right.
us produce health.
Now, the cells don't remain necessarily, but at least we eat animal food.
Okay.
Also, we use vaccines that have been created in animals,
mm-hmm.
and they're given to humans.
Yes.
And then, as we talked about, the heart valves from pigs. But I think most people draw the line when we mix the genes or mix the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And why we draw the line there and not somewhere else, I'm not sure. But at least that's where most people draw the line.
And when you say mix the DNA, what you're talking about is creating these chimeras like the mythical creatures. Now, there was a movie that came out this past June. Mm-hmm. It was called My Sister's Keeper.
Yeah.
And it was a family that decided to have a new baby because their older child was sick
mm-hmm.
and needed, I believe it was, she had leukemia. And so they needed
mm-hmm.
the exact match of the blood cells mm-hmm. to cure the leukemia. Is that the same kind of thing?
It takes advantage of the same kind of technology. Let me explain that a little more. The movie really builds upon what is happening already. There are a number of scientific reports that show that you can create, using in vitro fertilization
mm-hmm.
techniques, which is very common now, a new baby that is genetically matched to the older sibling. And apparently this is going on and new babies are being created. Now that creates a whole raft of ethical issues.
Absolutely.
So the
does.
Movie talks about mm-hmm. about this. It is very dramatic in the movie. I won't spill too much of the plot, but basically a little girl, age 3, develops leukemia. The parents decide to have another child, another little girl, and the new baby donates stem cells, donates bone marrow. The real crux comes about a decade later when they're both teenagers And the older Sib, who had had leukemia, now needs a kidney transplant.
Uh-huh. And now...
Stay tuned.
Yes, yeah, stay tuned, right. Because, once again, I mean, did you birth a child or did you birth a repair factory?
That's right.
In effect, is how it comes out to be. And there are ethical questions. There are religious questions. I'm sure that there are religions that look at this one way or the other.
Well, there are. I think most of the world's major religions are tolerant of the science, but are very concerned about the implications of ethical implications of human application.
I'm sure that that's true. I mean, we've looked at many of these ethical questions, and quite often religion is the thing that raises the morality or the ethical aspects of it.
If we go back to My Sister's Keeper, I would ask our listeners to just think, what would you feel if you were the younger child?
Mm-hmm.
What would you feel if you were the older child, if you were the parents?
That's exactly right. Well, Dr. Gregory Eastwood, this has been a fascinating conversation once again. We never are quite able to answer the questions. We can answer the science and help people understand the background of the questions. But we look forward to your return next month. We'll tackle another ethical issue.
I look forward to that, too.
Thank you so much. And listeners, we will be back in just a few minutes. This is Upstate Medical University's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.